Welcome. Before we hear from this week's guest, James Farmer, about the Angel Quilt Project, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Avlia Mediterranean Folk Embroidery. You can find Avlia at avlia.life, A-V-L-E-A.life. And when you visit that website, I think you will see some of the most unique cross-stitch and embroidery designs that that are on the market today. I call your attention to Krista West's new design, Avanthea, which she is showing as a table runner. And that is one of the neat things about all of Krista's, just about all of Krista's designs, is that they are all put together to be used. They're designed so that you can use them as table runners, as placemats, as table covers to put under a vase, any number of things that really enhance home decor. You'll also want to note as you go to the website that several of the designs have an M next to them, a capital M. That M means that the design lends itself well to meditative stitching. By that I mean you can sit down, you don't have to be back and forth with a chart, you can just sit and stitch and relax and just let your mind wander with, and still enjoy the feel of needle and thread going through ground cloth. So look for those as you go through avlia.life. And if you find what you want, and I'm confident you will, you can purchase directly from the website, or Kim at Sassy Jack Stitchery is carrying the entire Avlia line, so you can contact Kim. And if not, contact your local store and ask them to get the Avlia designs for you. So that's avlia.life. And now, James Farmer and the Angel Quilt Project. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you are listening to Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists. And our guest this week from the Angel Quilt Project, James Farmer. James, good to meet you.
Nice to be here, Gary. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. We got connected by one of your members, Lisa Ura. I'm going to go with Ura on that.
That's kind of the way I pronounce it.
Yep. Very kind of her to put us together. Never heard about the Angel Quilt Project. Going to be hard for us to move forward till we know about it. So why don't you give us a little background on how this got started?
I originally belonged to a group called Crosswits on Facebook. This was in late 1999, probably November. We were cross stitchers and we just got together and we were wondering, well, what can we use our cross stitch for to help somebody? And one of the ladies suggested doing blankets for families with premature babies.
Mm-hmm.
Because back then you never heard of anybody doing anything for preemies.
Yeah.
Unless it was the hospital staff or the doctors or the hospital itself. So I did a little research and checked into it and decided, yeah, that's what we'll do. And it was like the Lord put all this in my head, what we're going to name it, what we were going to do, and how we were going to do it. The original name was the Angel Afghan Project. And I started with four members, two here in the U.S. and two in the U.K. or England. The English group got together for an event, for a weekend event, and it was a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday thing, and nobody came to their table. And finally, somebody told them that they thought Afghan meant Afghanistan. So they got with me that following Monday, and I changed the name to the Angel Quilt Project, which more or less explains what we're doing.
Yeah.
The first blankets we sent out were to the Arnold Palmer Children's Hospital in Florida. And they were about 18 inches square.
Mm-hmm.
Because we figured with preemies, you know, they're small and these would work perfectly.
Yeah.
But over the years, I found out how we needed to improve on this thing. I guess it was about 2004. We had approximately 400 members worldwide representing different countries around the world. We are an international group. Or we were. At one time, I had divisions in Canada and Australia and New Zealand and England. It's now been whittled down to just Canada and the U.S.
Uh-huh.
Everything made in each division stays within that division, unless the head of the Canadian division gets in touch with me and they need something in a hurry,
yeah.
which is that's only happened a couple of times.
Yeah.
But we have in the U.S. we have approximately 1,500 neonatal units or NICUs that we actually send blankets to. We do it on a rotating basis, mainly because it's hard to keep up with these things as far as who gets what.
Mm-hmm.
So Hospital A, as in regards to Hospital Z, might get 15 or 20 blankets one time, and it may not come around again for anywhere from a year to 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
But that all depends on what we send and where we send it.
Yeah.
About 6 years ago, I heard about a group that works exclusively with neonatal centers. I can't remember the name of it, so you'll have to forgive me on that one. I contacted them, and they were having a convention, Austin, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And my son lives in Texas. So I contacted them, and at first they wanted like $3,000 for a booth to set up. And I said, whoa. I said, listen, I'm a nonprofit, and I can't do that.
Right.
So he whittled it down to $300 since it was, you know, helping the neonatal units and everything. So one of my finishers sent approximately 250 blankets to my son. And when I got there, all we had to do was go to Austin and set it up. I took my hospital list with me. I displayed my blankets. And these nurses would come around and they'd say, oh, these are such lovely blankets. What do we do? What do you do with it? And I'd tell them what it was. And I'd say, look on my hospital list there. And if you see your hospital, everything's fine. If you don't see your hospital, there's a blank page right there. Just write your name, the hospital name, and the whoever heads your NICU, and a phone number. And I will get in touch with them to see if they want to, you know, be on our list to get these blankets.
Yeah.
The first question they ask is, how much do they cost? And I say, they don't cost the hospital anything. I said, we send these to you free of charge.
Mm-hmm.
We never charge for our blankets. Do I get in touch with the head of the NICUs and see, well, this is what we do. Are you interested in getting some blankets? If they say yes, I get their mailing address, telephone number, information, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If they say no, then I just say, well, thank you for calling me and, you know, have a nice day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in 20 years, I've only had one hospital tell me no.
Yeah, I would think that would be outside the realm of common sense to tell you no.
Well, they were a Mormon establishment.
Oh.
This was in Utah.
Yeah.
And they were afraid that it might be religious because we use the word angel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes some sense.
So I quickly scratched them off my list and kept on going.
Now, let's back up a little bit. When you started as the Afghan group, was it because the blankets you were making were Afghans, like crocheted Afghans, or?
No, these are actually quilts.
Right.
They're quilted. But to me, the Afghan, when I didn't consult with anybody when I came up with the name, and perhaps I should have, because everybody associates Afghan with crochet.
Right.
Now, we do use some crocheted blankets. But those go to older kids, and we'll get into that later. That we can't send the crocheted quilts to the NICUs because of the dust and all that comes off of them.
Oh, okay.
That's very bad for the preemies to get something like that into their lungs, especially in that stage of their life, because that could lead to more complications.
Mm-hmm.
So after the incident in England, that's when I changed it to the Angel Quilt Project. And it seems to be working a whole lot better then.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Takes the politics out of it, that's for sure. So then tell me about the progression now. So we have this massive group in England, and then but now they're not involved anymore. Did they go off and do their own thing? How did that evolve?
Most of the ladies that were doing it in England were of the older generation.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got to where a lot of them quit doing it because of their age. I still got five or six ladies over there that do it, and they just more or less do it on their own, but they use the Angel Quilt Project as a way to get into the hospitals.
Okay.
And that's fine with me. I've got no problem with that. I mean, I've been doing this for so long, I've learned to give and take on a lot of this stuff. So it just got to where the participation in the English group had just dwindled down to where it was almost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just made the decision. I talked to them. I sent them emails and said, listen, since it's gotten down to the bare minimum here, I said, I'm just going to stop the UK group. And almost to a person, they said they agreed, which took a big load off of my chest.
Yeah.
Taking something away from them that they enjoyed.
Right.
Now, recently I had a lady who lives in, I think it's in the Canary Islands, Tenerife. And she wanted to do an Angel Quilt Project Facebook Tenerife. And I told her, that's fine, go for it. I said, I can always use new members or anything. So we've started that. The group that I had in Australia and New Zealand, the lady that was over that had lupus and cancer.
Oh.
And she tried her best to get somebody else to take it over down there, and nobody was interested in it. So that's when that group folded.
So these other groups then have just kind of faded away just because human nature and life happenings then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, the Canadian group is more or less shot off by itself, which is fine with me. I've got no problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. group is still going pretty strong. I've got probably about 30 or 40 people that do the cross stitch, and I've got 5 or 6 ladies that actually make the blankets.
Yeah.
All the cross stitch is sent to me, and then I distribute it to the finishers. Now I've got 2 in Tennessee, 1 in Washington State, 1 in Florida, and 1 in Texas.
Okay, well, before we get into that, let's back up now and let's describe what goes into these quilts and how cross-stitch fits in and how stitchers can be involved. Take us through that process of how you put a blanket together.
Now that, you're asking the wrong person. I have no idea how these ladies put everything together.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about how a cross stitcher gets involved in participating in this project.
Okay.
Putting a quilt together, that's somebody else's business.
Okay. When I set up the Facebook page, it's membership only and it's a closed group. So the ladies themselves that are actually doing have been in touch with me over the years about what we do and how we do it. They more or less spread the word around to their cross-stitching friends, and everybody gets in touch with me. Now, I've got 3 basic rules for the project. One is I get everybody's information, their name, their address, or telephone number, but I do not pass that information on to anybody. It stays with me.
Yeah.
I have their permission to send it off to anybody. The second one is there are no deadlines for this thing. To enjoy what you're doing and have fun without feeling the pressure of having a deadline. The third one is have fun while you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other groups out there that do stuff for babies and all, but they have deadlines. They have certain requirements of what you can use and what you can't use. The only requirement for us is it's got to be more or less childish in nature. For instance, Precious Moments. Those are about as childish as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Carson, who owns Gloria and Pat, who did the Precious Moments things, has graciously allowed the AQP to use all of the Precious Moments and Cherish Teddy designs. So we use those a lot. The stitchers are more or less on their own as far as what they want to do and how they want to do it.
Okay.
I tell them the smallest piece of material we stitch on is like 12 by 12 inches, but you can go larger. I mean, I stitched a piece that was on material that was 36 by 36 inches, and it sat at my house for probably 3 or 4 years. It was Clark Kent ripping open his shirt, showing the S on his chest. And somebody in Canada wanted a Superman quilt. So I sent them the design to do the S. And they did 4 S's, put one on each corner, and put Clark Kent, Superman, in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And gave it to this kid. And this kid just absolutely loved it. And that's what makes doing this so much fun.
Right.
Is realizing how much enjoyment the families get out of these. The blankets now are 36 by 36 inches.
Okay.
Which covers the layette in the NICU, keeps in the warmth, keeps out the light, and all sorts of stuff. The blanket is the family's to take home, irregardless whether the child survives or not. Obviously, we want the children to go home, but in real life, that doesn't happen. But the parents get to keep the blankets for multiple births, twins, triplets, whatever. Each child gets their own blanket. And I have sent out enough blankets for four sets of septuplets in the last 20 years.
Wow.
The only ones we did not send blankets to was Octomom.
Oh, okay.
And that was because she did this for the publicity.
Oh.
And I am not helping somebody else become famous.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Now we do, most of the NICU blankets have one centerpiece in them. Some of them can have five of them, depending on the size of them. And if they're all basically of the same theme. We do larger blankets, which can be twin size, queen size. I've even done a king size. I've got a lady in Texas who does the larger blankets. I've done Star Wars. I've done Paw Patrol. And there's one other, but it escapes me right now. Yeah. But all of these are put on one blanket by themselves. Now, they're usually done as fundraisers for the project to help us raise money to keep us going. If they don't sell, then I take them to Batson's Children's Hospital, which is part of the University of Mississippi Medical Center in Jackson, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And I take them down there and give them to the kids that are going through chemo.
Oh, okay.
And Gary, it brings tears to my eyes every time I see those kids.
Oh, I imagine, yes.
And the hugs and the thanks I get from the parents, it's something that will be indelibly in my mind until the day I die.
Yeah, oh, I can imagine.
There was one I took to a child in the burn center here in Greenville, Mississippi. She had third-degree burns on 60% of her body. The day I went to give it to her, she had just come back from being scrubbed. You know, they do that to get all the dead tissue and all off.
Uh-huh.
This child was in pain. They made me put on the scrubs and the mask and everything else. And mom and daddy were there in the room. And this blanket was pink and it had birthstone fairies on it, one for each month. And I opened it up and showed it to her. And Gary, the girl just looked at me with tears running down her eyes. She said, "I hate it." And I looked over at mom and daddy and mama said, "Don't worry about it." I said, "I understand. She's in pain." All right. About 5 years ago, grandma called me. And she wanted to let me know that child does not go anywhere without her blanket.
Oh, my. Oh.
And you don't know how good that made me feel.
Oh.
Now, I have personally visited every NICU that is in Jackson, Mississippi, and taken blankets to them. The University of Mississippi Medical Center has a 268-bed NICU, which is the largest in the Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go down there, I take 400 or 500 blankets at a time. I've met nursing staffs. I've met parents. I've met grandparents. I've met doctors. I get hugs. I get kisses. I get shaking hands. So many thank yous. And you don't know until you do something like this how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
Just to know that I am doing a little bit of something like that. And I tell people when I talk to them, families don't go into pregnancies expecting a premature baby.
Right.
And when they do have one, with today's technology, you expect them to go home.
Yep.
That doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
And a lot of these parents tell me, I've got a scrapbook that's probably about 8 inches thick right now with letters and stuff from families.
Mm-hmm.
I do not share that with anybody. That's part of my privacy thing.
Right.
Unless they tell me I can do it, I don't do it. I had a member get in touch with me about a family that had a preemie. I think they were in South Carolina. And she wanted me to send a blanket to them. And I fortunately, at that time, I had a matching pillow to go with the blanket.
Yeah.
So I priority mail to them, and they got it. And mama took a video of daughter opening the package and everything. And they gave me permission to share it, and it is on my Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
And it was real touching. It really was.
Yeah.
It was something I'm glad. Now I have personally shipped to 35 countries around the world with blankets. South Africa, Brazil, Colombia, Mexico, Cyprus, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, India, Thailand, France, Italy, Greece, Israel, and four or five countries in Africa.
How does any stitcher get involved in this? I mean, what we're talking about here is people stitching a design, whether it's Superman or Precious Moments or whatever it is, stitching a design, and then do they send them to you, and then you assemble them in whatever order or whatever, and then send them to a quilt maker? What is that process? How does someone get involved in this thing other than saying, I want to join? What actually do they do?
Okay. They can get in touch with me at my email, which is eprize01@aol.com. They can go on Facebook and look for the Angel Quilt Project. It's easy to spot because it's got Nemo and Dory on the top of the page. They can request to be a part of the group, and I will approve them. As soon as somebody wants to join, the first thing I do is get on there and say, we have a newbie to the group today. And I name her and say, welcome to the group. If you have any questions, you can get in touch with me. And I give them my email address. And a lot of them do get in touch with me asking what the requirements are and what has to be done. Like I said, we use anything that's childish, from clowns to toys to teddy bears, fairies, cartoon characters, Mickey Mouse, Disney, that kind of thing.
Now, do you provide the charts? Do people have charts? Both? How does that work?
Now, if I've got some charts that were done especially for the project by different designers, and if they want them, they can ask for them, and I send them to them at no charge. I had Marilyn Levitt Emblem, who was a big cross-stitch designer years ago. She has since passed away. She had a Christmas angel that she did every year as a freebie on her website. And she gave us permission to use all of those Christmas angels. And she actually designed an angel for us. And I named her Judy's Angel in memory of one of our stitchers who had passed away. And whenever we get a design like that, I try to, if a member has passed away or anything, I try to name it after them and let everybody know what we've got. Ellen Marr Stroh is Austria. She used to be a designer. She has quit now because of copyright infringements and everything. She designed three angels for us that we use. Stony Creek Cross Stitch Magazine did an angel for us. There have been several that have done, you know, designs for us that we still use. A lot of the times these stitchers have their own charts and they ask, well, can I use this one? Can I use this one? I've got that. I said, yes, that's not a problem. I said, if you need something, let me know. If I've got it, I'll send it to you. Now, a lot of these companies that do cross-stitch stuff, like the Ada Cloth or the Even Weave or the DMC Flosses or Needles or Beads or whatever, I can get in touch with them. And these companies have been very gracious about donating pieces to the project. And I tell everybody, if you need any of this stuff, I said, I've got it. I don't charge for it. All I ask is that you reimburse postage. And I mean, I've got years ago, DMC had wooden cabinets that were in all Walmarts and stores and everything else with their threads in it.
Right.
One of the ladies at our local Walmart said that they were going to crush all those boxes.
Oh, no, no.
She wanted to know if I wanted them. I said, yes. So I've got 10 of these things in my office here that I keep the threads in. I've got a box full of extra threads that I use. I've got boxes full of material, Ada, Even Weave, all sorts of stuff. So it's available for whoever wants it. And like I said, it's at no charge. All I ask is that you reimburse and postage. And I do have a PayPal account for the Angel Quilt Project.
Mm-hmm. So if I want to do this, I join the group and I write to you, and then I can ask questions and so on and so forth. But I can either use my own material and designs, and since this is all being given away, we don't really have to worry about copyright because nobody's making any money off this.
Correct.
And if I don't have designs, then it sounds like you have a good supply of options that you can send to a stitcher. And then also you have ground cloth and thread, plenty of DMC thread, that if somebody says, well, I'd love to do it, but I can't afford or don't want to spend or what, you know, whatever option they want to use. you can provide them with the materials they need to do the stitching.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Once they get done, then they send their, I tell them, wait till you've got four or five pieces done before you send them to me. And when they're ready, I send them my mailing address. They send it to me. I keep it here at the house until I've got a huge backlog or whatever. And then I break it down and send it to the different finishers. And the finishers are the ones that make the blankets.
Now, are we talking, for the most part, just little designs that are, 6-8 inches on a side or a height or width, relatively small designs?
No, some of these designs can be, like, say, the Precious Moments minis. They can be, 2 or 3 inches tall.
Okay.
And maybe an inch and a half or so wide. We do stuff like that, but most of the time, stuff we get is, 8 or 9 inches wide and tall. It's like the Star Wars pieces I did. Each one of them was 8x8.
Mm-hmm.
I just did a series of Precious Moments pieces that are round, like dinner plates. In fact, they came off of dinner plates from the Precious Moments Chapel in Missouri. These things were 9 inches around.
Okay.
It took me 7 months to stitch 7 pieces. And, I mean, these things are huge.
Yeah.
And I just sent them off to a finisher a couple of months ago, and she just recently posted a picture on our Facebook page of the finished blanket. That will be used as a fundraiser. I used to try to do a fundraiser every year, and I would supply the charts and everything else. But that got to where, yeah, I'd send out the charts and the threads and everything, but I'd never get the pieces back.
Yeah.
Some people never did them. Some people just lost interest. So now I do all of the pieces like that and send them to the lady in Texas who does the larger blanket.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I enjoy doing. I really do.
Whatever childlike or child things that would be appealing to a child or would fit a child type thing, I can stitch that. If I own something, I can stitch it and send it to you. Sounds like we're looking at pieces no bigger than 10 inches across. Something like that, because you're on a 36-inch square blanket. So, and then you'll take all of these and accumulate them, and then when you get a supply of stitched pieces, then you send them to a finisher, and then he or she then says, all right, I'm going to make a quilt out of these 5 pieces, put them together, and then assembles a quilt.
Right. Now, some of these blankets can have up to 5 or 6 pieces on it, depending on the size. It'll fit within a 36 by 36 inch blanket. And some of them may only have 1 centerpiece.
Mm-hmm.
These ladies that actually make the blankets are very talented. They know how to coordinate the fabrics and what the backing needs to be. Some of them have even made their own labels to put on the back of the blankets, made by so-and-so, blah, 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 for the Angel Quilt Project. I won't disclose any names because, obviously, of privacy and everything.
Right, sure.
These ladies know what they're doing. I've got several. One in Alabama, she just puts them out left and right. I send her probably the most pieces. The one in Texas gets all the stuff for the larger blankets. A couple of the ones in Tennessee, they're very limited on what they can do because they do other stuff with their blankets and all for other paying customers.
Mm-hmm.
So they do a couple of pieces. Maybe 15 or 20 pieces a year, if that many. But that's okay. I've got no problems with that. I realize people have other lives other than Angel Quilt Project.
Right.
I'm 67 years old. I'm retired. I was 47 when I started this. And when I started it, Gary, I thought, well, 4 or 5 years and that'll be over with. Everybody will lose interest. Here it is 20 plus years later and we're still going strong.
Yeah.
I do a charity. I do a event here in Greenville every year called the Hot Tamale Festival. I set up my booths, my tent. I've got all my blankets on display. For a small fee, they can take a blanket with them. Or if they've got a premium or anything else, whatever, I tell them, pick one out and take it with you. And they look at me like I've grown a third eye in the middle of my forehead. And I tell them, this is what we do. We give these things away to families with premium. Oh, well, I've got a grandson. I've got a granddaughter there in a premium unit, blah, blah, blah. Take a blanket with you. Pick one out. Mm-hmm. Well, can I come back? I've got to talk to my son. I've got to talk to my daughter. Whatever. I said, yes, ma'am. I will be here all day. And I give away anywhere from 5 to 15 blankets each time we go to the event. But that's what makes all this worthwhile, Gary, sure. is knowing that you're providing something for someone who is in a situation that they had no control over.
So the quilters then do their magic, whatever that is, and ship the quilts back to you.
Correct.
And you just have a supply there at the house that you wait for hospitals to contact you, or are you constantly spreading the word that you have blankets for them to have?
I will get in touch with different hospitals going down my list and say, are you ready for blankets, blah, blah, blah. Now, we've got a local NICU here in Greenville. About every 6 months, I take them 15 or 20 blankets. Sometimes it's longer than 6 months, depending on what it is, because they don't really have a huge NICU here. Mm-hmm. It may be a year before I have to take blankets to them, but they know that they can call me if they need them. When I talk to the head of these NICUs, I tell them, if you have a situation where you need a blanket right away, but you don't have any, call me, send me an email or whatever. Let me know whether there's a boy or a girl, twins, triplets, or whatever, and I will get something to you, priority mail, the next day. And you'd be surprised how many calls I've gotten like that. I okay. keep all my blankets in three huge Rubbermaid containers.
Okay.
And that has worked out well, especially with this COVID going on, because a lot of these blankets had been put away before the COVID even got started. There's no way that they've been contaminated.
It's an active role that you play in getting these blankets distributed anywhere in the world. If you know of a need, you supply it, and if not, you're letting people know that these blankets are available then.
Yes. Now, I had a finisher in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at one time. She passed away about 5 years ago, and she would distribute blankets up and down the East Coast. She'd send out 25 blankets a month to different hospitals up and down the East Coast. And let me tell you, I miss her dearly every day.
Yeah.
Because she not only did the cross stitch, but she made the blankets.
Mm.
And she's the one that supplied the 200 some odd blankets when I went to Austin, Texas. But I cannot brag enough on these ladies, whether it's the cross stitch or the quilting or whatever.
Yeah.
We're an all volunteer group. That's the first thing I stress to these people. Nobody gets paid for anything, not even me. I don't want to get paid for anything. The only information that gets out to anybody is my information. I gladly give out my phone number, my address, whatever.
And I think that's a key thing. None of this happens without all of these volunteer stitchers from all over the place saying, I'm going to use my stitching time to help make these blankets for these preemie babies. So you really have a community of, I'm sure, 99% ladies who are doing this on an ongoing basis.
Yeah. In fact, other than me, there was only one other guy that did the cross stitching, and he was in England. He's still in England, but he's not actively participating anymore. He encourages everybody when I say we've got new members and blah, blah, blah. But as far as I know, I'm still the only active male member in the group.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to these events, they look at my wife and say, oh, you do such beautiful work. And she says, it's not me, it's him. And it's like, I've done crossfit for 55 plus years. And they still look at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Yeah.
But like I said, about 15, 16 years ago, I had to have two major surgeries. I had a brain aneurysm and a carotid bypass. For 2 years, all I could do was sit and watch TV and cross stitch. And that cross stitch was a huge, huge, huge therapy for me at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has really blessed me and the Angel Quilt Project immensely.
Yeah. Well, it gave you something to get you through a tough time. So now this is your chance to give back. Yes.
Yes. And believe me, I give back on this thing as often as I can. It's something that is really near and dear to my heart. Like I said earlier, I didn't think it would make it past 4 or 5 years. And yet here it is 20 years later and we're still going. So
yep.
We must be doing something right.
Oh, without a doubt. All right. Let me open the floodgates a little bit. obviously, you'll take volunteers to stitch. Are you looking for designers willing to provide designs? Are you looking for people to donate thread and ground cloth and needles? Where are we at in that aspect of it in terms of you getting materials that you can use?
Well, right now, I am overwhelmed with supplies, so okay. I don't really need anything like that. But if there's anybody out there that would like to design some cross stitch pieces that are childish in nature, I will gladly accept them. At one time, I went to the hospitals here in Greenville to the children that were at the hospital, and I talked to their parents and all. I said, "Well, if I would like to try to get these kids involved in this project, if they would like to do a drawing or something, maybe we can convert it to cross stitch and use it on the blankets and say, this is done by such and such who was in the hospital with such and such." And I got a lot of responses.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed to die down after about 6 months. Nobody really, I got 4 designs at that time, and each of those had been used on the blankets. And some of these kids were quite imaginative. And I've actually converted things to cross stitch. I did my own set of angels at one time. About 10 or 15 angels. I did a teddy bear once that did the front and the back, and we used it to make Christmas ornaments. You can take the front and the back, and stitch them together.
Right.
And you don't know that it's 2 separate pieces sometimes. At one time, we did bookmarks that we'd give to schools for the younger kids. We did the Christmas ornaments. But stuff like that is more or less falling through the cracks.
The difference-making thing is the preemie contributions there.
Yes, the preemies and the cancer kids as well.
I hope you say no, but is the older cancer kids thing a growing aspect of what you do?
It's just a part of it.
Okay.
I don't want to say it's a growing aspect because we don't really do that many larger blankets anymore. And the ones that we have done, most of them have sold to raise funds. I try to sell them on eBay or Etsy, or when we go to these events, I'll put them out. Now, we've got one of the ladies did an angel of cross stitch a couple of months ago, uses every color thread that DMC has available, which is like 400 and 500 different colors. It used every color. And I got that back. That'll be used as a fundraiser. And I've got a picture of that on my Facebook, on the Facebook page. Whenever I get blankets in or cross stitch pieces, I take pictures of them and I post them on the Facebook page so everybody can see what's been done.
Right.
I am completely open with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that goes that I get for the project, as far as donations, cash, or anything like that, 100% of it goes into the project.
That's another thing, donations. Now, you're I'm sure, quite open to monetary donations to help you with postage and travel expenses, that kind of thing.
That would be the biggest need for the project. Mailing these things out is not cheap. About 15, 16 years ago, I tried to get the ladies in the project to donate anywhere from $10 to $15, $20 a month to try to help us, but that fell through real quick.
Yeah.
A lot of the times I will take my own money and put it into the project. I've done that for the whole 20 years the project's been going on.
So the best way that people can help you out is to stitch so that the materials they would contribute to you, threads and ground cloth, instead of doing that, keep it and stitch some designs and send those to you so you can make blankets. And the other way is a monetary contribution to help with postage and other just general expenses. I'm sure you're packaging materials, boxes, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, if designers want to create designs to send to you to use freely to spread out amongst all your stitchers, then that's another way that the greater community can contribute to this. Well, that's just a fantastic project all the way around. And so glad to be able to talk about it and let people know how they can get involved, because that's what it looks like. Your Facebook group has some 260 members. And how many stitchers do you have?
Right now, I'd say anywhere between 30 and 50.
Okay. So that you'd take more stitchers. And if you had more blankets, then you have no trouble finding places for them.
Oh, no. There will always be some place to send these blankets. I mean, there's preemies born every day in every country around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not something that you're just going to turn a tap off and it's going to stop.
Right, right.
And there's kids with cancer. Now, we cut the age limit off at 18 for the cancer kids.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, I took some to the Batson's Children's Hospital. And one little girl, she wanted Disney princesses. And I did not have any.
Mm.
And that is a big request. Disney princesses, Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, all the Disney characters.
Talk about that, because when you get into Disney and Marvel Comics and those kinds of things, I mean, those are characters and trademarks that are protected to the hilt. How do you come up with those characters and still not get in the way of copyright things? Are they donated? Do people, how does that work?
Because we do not sell them.
Okay.
As long as we give them away, we're fine. I mean, even when I set up at these events, I do not sell any character, any blankets that have Disney, Star Wars, Marvel Comics, or anything like that on them. They are given away.
Well, and see, I asked that question just to make the point that you're careful about copyrights, because when people go to your page and they see Nemo and Dory, that's going to be a question that pops up is how are you using those characters in this venture? And it's exactly that. There's no money being exchanged for those characters.
No, and if somebody from Disney or whatever is to get in touch with me and say, take that down, I'll gladly take it down and put something else up. It's like I tell people, I'm retired. I don't have any personal deadlines or anything else that I have to do. I'm in no rush to do things these days. I sit back and enjoy what little bit of life I've got left. And doing this is sometimes it's the highlight of my day.
Uh-huh.
When we go to these events, my wife tells me, explain yourself in 25 words or less. Nobody wants to hear your life story, but it's hard. Gary, it is hard not to start going into detail about what we do.
Right.
And she's sitting over there shooting daggers at me the whole time I'm doing it.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. You enjoy it. It's making a difference. Tell the story. Just tell the story.
Thank you.
Yep. So let's talk about your stitching then. How did you get started stitching?
My grandmother started me when I was 13 years old. She gave me a little piece, and it was a rose. And I worked on it. I mean, my stitches went every which way. And it was probably the ugliest piece of cross stitch I have ever seen. But it was the first piece that I did. And I worked on that for a couple of months. And then my mama passed when I was 13.
Oh.
And I more or less put it up for a while.
Yeah.
Probably a couple of years. And then before I graduated high school, I started doing it again. I was born and raised in Delaware, and we moved to Mississippi in 1966, where my daddy was born and raised. Both of my kids have been born here. I've been married 3 times, all of them here. The cross stitch has been the one constant thing in my life for the past 55 years or 55 plus years. I've got my own space in the house. It used to be my oldest stepdaughter's bedroom. And when she got married and moved out, my wife said, you're taking all your stuff out of my living room and putting it back there. So this is where I stay.
I can see that meeting. Yeah.
My wife has her TV in the living room. I've got my TV in my office. I love football. She hates football. The only time she watches football is when her grandson plays.
Okay.
But I'm an avid cross stitcher. I'm an avid reader. I do not go anywhere without a book or my Kindle, which again aggravates my wife. But most of the time, like I said, I'm back here and I'm doing cross stitch about once a year, about every 6 months when I had all the different divisions going, I had to send paperwork to all of them for their different countries qualifications and everything else. But now that it's just here, I don't have all that paperwork anymore. I can devote more time to my stitching. I did that 7-month marathon on those Precious Moments pieces, and I'm more or less burned out for a while.
Yeah.
I've got a piece that I'm working on, but I'm taking my time on it. I'm not in any big rush. I'm just doing it as I see the need. I got lucky a couple of months ago, and I won a complete set of the Dark Shadows television series.
Mm.
And I've been sitting back here watching, binge watching Dark Shadows for the last 3 weeks. I still haven't gotten to Barnabas yet, but I'm enjoying it.
Sounds like you got that retirement thing down pat here.
Well, I'm trying.
Now, your stitching is not exclusively for the Angel Quilt Project. You do things for yourself?
No, everything I do goes to the project.
Okay.
Now, I've got one piece that I did that my wife says, I'm going to get framed and we're going to hang it up here at the house. And that's an iris with some black work done on it. Black work is just basically back stitching and designs.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of these days I'm going to get that framed and we're going to hang it up here at the house. And I've got one piece that I did, oh Lord, 30 years ago. It's got over 100,000 stitches in it.
Oh, jeez.
It's the three wise men standing in front of a scene, standing in front of Bethlehem. And it's got blocks. It's got columns on each side. It's got a passage written on the bottom. It's got a thing across the top. And I was going to sell it. And my wife says, no, you're not. That's mine. So we call it the closet piece because it stays in the closet until Christmas every year.
Okay.
But that's... very few pieces I have ever done in the 55 plus years have I actually kept. Everything usually is given away.
Oh, that's great. Well, James, I tell you, I sure appreciate it. This is when Lisa said you need to talk to James about this project, and I started poking around a little bit. I just knew we were going to have a good conversation and actually give people a chance to contribute if they want to. This is a real opportunity for needleworkers everywhere to do some stitching that will make a difference for families and little babies and children. Really, really applaud you for the effort. And you know, over 20 years, that's really sticking to it too. So, and I can tell the way you describe it, it means an awful lot to you, and that's fantastic.
Well, thank you, Gary. I appreciate the opportunity to get on here and talk about it.
Well, you're making a difference, James, and tip of the cap for that. That's fantastic. So it's Facebook, the Angel Quilt Project, and all the information is there. You join, and then there's a section called Files, I believe, that gives you a rundown of what to do, and James is there to help you out. And I joined the group just to learn, and a lot of active people there, so plenty of help, plenty of ways to contribute. And James, just bravo to you for doing this thing and doing it for so long. It's just fantastic.